Wednesday nights, and we've been looking over some things. And tonight, I wanted to go to Psalm 19 this evening. Psalm 19, but just to be real honest with you, my heart wasn't in it, and so. Some very neat things there in Psalm 1, Psalm 19, the very good stuff. But you know, the Lord just put something on my heart. I'm not usually a situational preacher, but Romans 8:28 tonight is where I want to go to. And so I don't normally like to knee-jerk preach and everything, but Romans 8:28. And, you know, it's amazing what you can learn in just one day. Isn't that funny? You really can. You can learn a lot in just one day. One experience can help you to learn a lot. Like lock doors whenever you should. So, now I'm not trying to beat myself up over that too much, but, you know, my wife and I have a saying with each other. If you think about it, do it. If you think about it, do it. And man, how many times have you ever forgotten something just because you thought about it and you thought to yourself, I'll get back to it real quick, and you never get back to it. I do that all the time, and if you think about it, do it. If you think about it, do it. We try to live by that principle, but it doesn't always hold true. But nonetheless, and I was thinking about that song, and I almost sang it tonight, but we'll maybe talk about it at the end. But it's that song, in times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need a Bible. In times like these, I'm glad I have a Savior. And aren't you? And I really am. God is a good God, and He's an awesome God. And we know that all things, in Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things, can we say that together? And we know that how many things? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And all afternoon I've considered the events of this of today, and immediately when I heard of it, Kara said something to me, and I was in shock. I didn't know what to think of or anything. What do you do and everything? Do you call 911? What do you say? And everybody I've talked to today has been in shock over it. One guy even blurted out in the story. He said, "A man who steals a church van deserves to go to hell." And I thought, well, you know, and he walked off. I never got a chance to say anything to him. But, you know, we all deserve to go to hell. You know, really, we all do. And not just people that steal church vans. But it's a shock even to unbelievers, is what I found. Even to people that are non-believers, they're shocked by these things. And shocked in this experience that they're going through. But as I consider this, you know, what would be a good thing to, what's a good tone to set for this whole thing? And I just went over some things that are in my mind and thinking about some things throughout the day, and really try to relate to how do we handle trials in our personal life? How do we handle trials when something comes into our life? And I've talked about trials several times, I know, but this is from a little bit different perspective. And that it just happened to us as a church, that was $11,250 that this church, you know, saved and gave and then invested into a church van that could pick up children and bring them to church and hear about the Word of God and so you think about that, you know, you think about those kinds of things. Think about the time that was spent on it, the time that was used for good and for God's glory, the time that it was going to be used for tomorrow and everything. And you think, well, what do we do with something like this? And the first thing that I thought about was this, I've got 15 of these, okay? I've got about 15 things, and I want you to write them all down, all right? They're real simple, though, and it won't take that long to do all 15, I don't think. Number one is this. I wrote, stop all things, stop all plans, hold on, hold off, don't be rash, think. If you want to put it all together into one thing, just think. Think for a second. You know, when something happens that's bad to us, the first thing we want to do is be rash, be quick, be hasty. Just immediately do something. What do I need to do? And now just hold on a second. Don't panic. Don't worry. Don't be mad. Don't be so upset or angry. You know, what do we, just hold on. Don't lose your cool. Don't lose your temper. Don't lose your testimony. And don't lose your lunch, all right? Just hold on. Hold on. Think through the problem. Think through the issue immediately. Immediately. I will be very honest. I said this earlier. Is that immediately I felt like when I was walking out the door to go over to the church that God spoke to my heart in a gentle voice and just said, you don't need to go tomorrow. And I just immediately felt that. Felt the Spirit of God moving in that direction. And, my responsibility changed from that tomorrow to my church. It changed to me being a pastor, to me being a responsibility to my family. Does my family feel safe now that somebody's done this so close to your house? And my family, my responsibility forces me to change my plans. I've been reading through the Kings. There's a great king named Hezekiah. And there's this man that from Assyria, his name was Sennacherib. And he starts shouting off and he starts telling everybody, hey, Hezekiah can't save you. Your God can't save you. Don't listen to Hezekiah. He can't save you. He can't help you. Nobody's going to help you out. And the king's commandment in 2 Kings 18:36 was this, but the people held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Answer him not. And how many times whenever something happens, we're quick to answer, we're quick to say something, we're quick to do something, and Hezekiah knew, hey, he's going to say a lot of bad things. Keep your mouth closed. Be quiet. Let him talk. Don't be rash. Hold your tongue. Think about the situation. And then I thought, you know what, these are the first two are just real practical right out front. Write immediately what happens in these things. But go over to Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 11. You're in Romans 8:28, so it won't take you very long to get to Romans 12:11. And I'll tell you the next point. The next point is this. The first point is think. Don't be rash. Stop. Hold on. Stop all plans. The second one is this. Take care of business. Take care of business. Do something. I like Romans 12:11. It says this to us. It says that we ought to not be slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Do what you can do now. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. While it is day. Hey, okay, there's time to think, but then after you've thought about it, then take action. Do something. Call the cops or whatever you got to do. Take some action. Call the insurance company. Check the video surveillance. Go to the areas. Do what you can do. Do what you can do at that very moment. Take care of business, all right? And take care of those things. Do what you can do. Work while it is day. This third thing is this. Very simple. Pray. Amen? I started praying. I thought about it. I took care of action. I took care of something. And then I started praying. Lord, calm us down. Help us not to worry. Lord, help us to realize this is in your hands. Lord, thank you for your many blessings and help us to understand that it's going to be okay. God, please give us our band back, Lord. We really appreciate it. You know, just pray. Pray without ceasing. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence, we have an assurance of God, that if we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of. We know we have the petitions that we have desired of. We know we have it. If God, we ask it in faith, believing, and also in His will, God will give it to us. That's why I am careful to say, I quite don't know what the will of God is in this thing. I am in some ways concerned that maybe somebody took something and did something with your stuff, you know, are they going to bring it back good to us? You just don't know. I just want God. We want God's will in the matter. Let God take care of it. Vengeance is mine, say the Lord, it says. Let God deal with them. Let God take care of everything. But pray. Ask God to give you the right answers, to give you the right thoughts, to give you the right attitude in a trial, in a situation. The fourth thing I thought was this. These are all simple. People are wicked. How simple is that? I mean, that's it. I mean, people are wicked. People are wicked. People are ungodly. I thought to myself, who steals a church van? Did anybody think that? Raise your hand. One person? Is that only, Melissa was the only person that thought that. Now you just all too embarrassed to raise your hand. Everybody thought that. Everybody I talked to. Who steals a church van? That's what everybody says to me. Who does that? Who does such a thing? And have we sunk so low in our society, people have thought, that we are morals so low? I guess the old adage is true. There's no honor among thieves, right? There's no honor among thieves. That is, take whatever, however, whatever, it doesn't matter, just take it. I'll never forget one time we had an old stove that was sitting outside here of the church. It was sitting there for a couple of days. It didn't even work one time. And I was going to scrap it and make a few dollars out of it and give it back to the Lord. And I guess it sat there too long for somebody's liking because somebody else needed it more than I did. And the stove was gone and hauled it off for me. So people are wicked. People are ungodly. But seriously, a church man, you might say, man, we're living in the last days. These are terrible times. I can't believe this. Hey, would you go over to the book of Isaiah? Go over to the book of Isaiah. And this afternoon I was reading in my daily Bible reading in Isaiah chapter number 57. I'm reading through this great prophetic book. And I hit, if you read through Isaiah and you get a little bogged down, maybe in chapters 20s or something like that, hold on, chapter 40s and 50s are coming. They're really good chapters. And you want to stay with it so you can get to those places. And chapter 57 in verse number 4 and 6. Who is Isaiah talking to? Well, in the beginnings of his prophecies, he's talking to the Gentile nations. He talks to Egypt, he talks to Babylon and others. But at the end of the chapter, at the end of the book, he's talking to Israel. God's chosen people. Alright? This is who he's talking. He's not talking to Gentile heathens here. He says in Isaiah 57, in verse number 4, against whom do you sport yourselves? Who do you think you are? Is what he's talking to the Israelites about. Just who do you think you are? Against whom make you a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Who are you sticking out your tongue to? You ever seen a kid stick out their tongue? That's what he's saying. Nana, nana, boo, boo, God. You can't hurt us. These are God's people. God's people. Now, are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree? Even they slew their children in the valleys under the clefts of the rocks. They were killing their own children, worshiping idols among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They that are thy lot, even to them that has poured out a drink offering, offered a meat offering. Should I receive these in comfort? Go over to 59 in verse number 1. He says in verse number 2, I should say, he says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. You can read all the way down to verse number 8. It's just a whole list of terrible sins. Okay, let's just be real. That's all it is. It's a terrible list of sins. All right, our list of terrible sins. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Gentiles. No, excuse me. He's talking about, not about Gentiles. He's talking about Jews. My point being is this, is that these people were the keepers of the law, the people that were supposed to know God. And look what they're accused of. The terrible, most worst atrocities known to mankind. Giving their children over to idols and burning them in fire. And yet, I think about these people or other people that commit sin against us. And just understand, people have always been wicked. People have always been wicked and have always done terrible and wicked things. And then I thought this. My second thought was, one of my first thoughts was, how could anybody steal a church van? My second thought was this. How could anybody steal a church van? But from a different perspective. Somebody told me this today. I talked to a lot of people in this whole situation. And somebody had some good advice for me about this. They said, Pastor, we were talking about the cameras and some things, and I wish I would have done this or that, blah, 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 blah. And he said, Pastor, he said, you didn't think to do that because you don't have a conniving heart to think like that. And I'm not building myself up. I'm just saying, if you thought today, how in the world can somebody steal a church man? You know why you thought that? Because God has preserved you from such terrible abominable thoughts. You've never ridden down the road and looked at a First Baptist church and said, you know what? Man, I can have that man. You know? You don't think like that. You know, and be thankful that you don't think like that. That God has saved you from wicked thoughts. We ought to be thankful for that. Be thankful that you thought, how could anybody steal a church man? Thankful for that. Because the wicked, they do think ungodly thoughts. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts, Proverbs 10:4 tells us. God is not in all of his thoughts. The thoughts of the righteous are right, Proverbs 12:5. And Proverbs 15:26 says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Hey, be thankful your thoughts, perhaps in some cases, are not an abomination unto the Lord. Amen? That you don't think like that. I heard one fellow I knew was a friend of mine, and he used to say that. He used to say, how can anybody do that? Or how can anybody say that? And then he said, well, I'm very glad that I can't think like that. Be thankful to God that he saved your mind and he's helped you to not think like that. To not think in such wicked ways. But on the heels of that, I have to say this. Another thought that hit me right after that was this. Don't be prideful. Don't be prideful that you don't think like that. You know, we can become so prideful in every little aspect of life, can't we? I mean, little things we can become prideful about. We can say, oh, well, I didn't do this. And guess what? No, wherefore, if you want to write, this was point number six. If you want to write down 1 Corinthians 10:12, it was this. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If you think, I'll never do that, be careful, because you're just about ready to do it. You're right on the heels. You're right on the verge. Whether our sins are big or small or large or few or many makes no difference at all. Salvation is by God's grace. And James says that whosoever shall keep the law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. He's guilty of all. Guilty of all. Another thought I thought about was this. Is that simply stealing is wrong. All right? Let's just reemphasize that. Amen? Thou shalt not what? Steal. Alright, let's just reemphasize it. Put it out there. Stealing's bad. Stealing's wrong. Don't let us not be mad at somebody for stealing something from us. And at the same time, we may steal something from our employer. We may steal something from our parents. We may steal something from the church. I don't know. You may steal something from somewhere. You may steal something from the IRS. Don't steal. Don't embezzle. Don't say, well, you know, I'll just borrow this. Now, that's called embezzlement. The government will put you in jail for that, okay? Every single time. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't be upset with somebody for stealing from you when you steal yourself. Another thing that hit me was this. Number eight was a question one of the police officers asked me. He said, do you want to file charges? When that hits you at first, when somebody says that, you know, as a Christian, my mind immediately turns to mercy, and I think, well, let me think about that. I need to think about that. I need to think through that for a second. And I said, yes, I do. And then he was about to leave, and he said, I just want to make sure you want to file charges. And by the time I thought about it, I said, yes, I do. I do. And why is that? Why should you want to? It's because simply this is that there should be repercussions for doing wrong. There should be repercussions for doing wrong. Our law says, not just the law of the Bible, but our law teaches us and tells us that that grand theft auto is illegal, all right? And it deserves a sentence, it deserves a punishment, it deserves time. But what about mercy, Pastor? Well, in this case, it would be a merciful thing, perhaps, for this person to be called, because then perhaps they would receive the repercussions and go to jail or go where or have some kind of judgment placed upon them, and perhaps they would fear and say to themselves, I don't want to do that again. I've talked to people that have gone to jail, have gone to prison, and say, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back there. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Maybe they'll learn from it. And perhaps, too, if there are called and there are repercussions, then that will give them less chance to steal from somebody else, right? Many times, whenever somebody does wrong and there are no repercussions, and it's just mercy, mercy, mercy after mercy, 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 there can be a likeness to their life. And just say, well, you know, I get away with it. Got away with it once. Are there cases of mercy? No doubt. There are many cases of mercy, and we should be merciful. A couple of other quick points was this. Don't be angry and sinful. The Bible says, be angry and what? Sin not. Don't be sinful. I think of the story of John and James. John and James were walking with the disciples, and they were going to go into a Samaritan village in Luke chapter number 9, verse number 51. And as they were about to go into the village, the Samaritans came out and told them, you guys can't come in. And John and James, the sons of thunder, is what they were called. Jesus nicknamed them that. And because they were kind of loud and boisterous. But nonetheless, the sons of thunder, James and John, said to Jesus, they said, call down fire from heaven, Jesus, and destroy this town. And Jesus said to them these words. He said, ye know not what you speak of. I came not to take over. I came not to destroy life, but to give it, but to save it. You know what Jesus was saying? You guys don't know what you're talking about. You guys don't know what you're talking about. You know, this fellow that at the store today that said to me, you know, people like that, people that steal church vans go to hell. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand what you're saying. You don't understand what you're saying. Understand this, that don't be angry and sinful. Number 10 was simply this, simply that realize that God has it all in control. Somebody texted my wife that today and realized that God has it all in control. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. Are not my ways much higher than your ways, he says. And they are. God's got a plan. He's got a will. He's got something in it. And you know what? God's going to take care of the thing no matter what. Number 11 was to realize that the providential and protective hand of God. Realize that God may have been protecting us from something. There was just an incident that happened in Las Vegas that a church that we know of that was coming back from LA on a youth conference trip, and a big gust of wind took their 15-passenger van and pushed it off the road and rolled it down the side of the hill. And nobody, thankfully, was seriously injured, but it did cause a big scare, and some people did get hurt, and it could have been much worse. What if God was protecting us men from something like that? I don't know. You say, preacher, are you saying these? No, I don't know. I know this, though, that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. God's got a way. God's got a purpose. Don't be upset the next time you drop your keys and going out the door or anything like that. God's got a reason. God's got a purpose. My wife left this afternoon to take the children to the girls to piano lessons, and when she pulled out of the place and had to come back, Meredith had forgot her things, her music lessons, and had to come back to the church. We don't know these things. We don't know why these things happen. It was not even an absent-minded mistake. She was actually doing something, trying to be helpful, and in the process of being helpful, she left them behind. And so we don't understand why these things happen. I like Psalm 121. You know what Psalm 121 is? Somebody talked about this a long time ago. They called it the Traveler's Psalm. The Traveler's Psalm. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He says it like this, though. He said, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. And sometimes he just don't let you go out. All right? Sometimes it just doesn't let you go out. And I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was. But God's got a purpose. Romans chapter number 8, this is point number 12, if you're keeping up with me tonight. Romans chapter number 8 says this, is that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. God loves us. God loves us. Number 13 was that I also, Galatians 6:2 tells us, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what I received today from lots of people? I received a host of encouragement. A host of encouragement and support. And that was very helpful. You know what? Whenever we're going through trials, or you know somebody that's going through a trial or a difficulty, you know what you need to do? You need to support them. You need to lift them up. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill ye the law of Christ. And you did that today, and I appreciate that. And you need to do that. We need to do that for people. We need to help out people. We need to tell them we love them. We need to tell them we're praying for them. We need to tell them we're here for you. We need to send them some money every once in a while. You know what? It's encouraging to somebody that if maybe that needs some help with something. Maybe you know somebody that needs something now or just went through a problem or a situation or a trial. And you just send them $10 or $15. Maybe you send them $25. You don't realize how much that little $25 can go a whole long ways to their hearts. It can just mean a whole lot to them. Just that little bit of money. You say, I don't have very much. I don't have very much to give. Then fine, don't give very much if you don't have very much. All right, that's fine. That's okay. Nobody's asking you to give a whole lot of money here. God, last time I checked, Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he fed 5,000 people, all right? Sometimes we'll have people over at the house and we'll have unexpected guests, and my wife tries to be as hospitable as she can, but you know what? She's not Jesus, okay? And she came make 5 loaves and 2 fishes feed 5,000 people. But sometimes we'll get done feeding and everybody will leave, and I'll look at my wife and I'll say, sweetheart, I said, that bowl of pasta, I said, it just made more than you made, didn't it? She said, yeah, it did. That it fed more than, and we've got some left over. We've got some left over. And when Joseph shows up, there's none left over. But you know, that's the way it is. God, when you give to God, God blesses you, and he's a good God. You give others to support, and God will bless you for it. Be patient, amen. Be patient. Sound like Brother Altmeister right then. Amen. That's all you're like. Amen. Be patient. Be patient. We got a hold of the insurance company. Finally, you know. They didn't want to talk to us for some reason. Of course, they don't want to pay you $12,000 either, you know. But we finally got a hold of them. 30 days. Got to wait 30 days before you can get a new van. Got to wait 30 days before we'll send a check out. You know, you just be patient. Understand. God's got it covered. God's got the thing in his plans. He knows what's happening. Be patient. Maybe God's got something. Maybe he's got, you know what, maybe God, maybe if he doesn't bring it back to us, maybe he's got a better one out there for us. You know that? Maybe he does. Maybe he's got a better one for us. And 2 more points and I'm done. I'm pausing because I'm debating which one to tell you first. Matthew 5:44. Go there. Go to Matthew 5:44. Let's just look at this one first, because I want to end with the Lord, but I want to say this too. We'll take a few moments here and we'll do this. We'll just apply the principle. Apply the scripture as it tells us here in Matthew 5. What do we do? What do we do in these cases? Let's read what it says. It says in verse number, which I should take you back to 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You want to be perfect? You know what? We need to pray for the people that took the bait. We need to forgive them. We like Joseph, we forgave his brothers before they ever even showed up. You know, pray for them. Forgive them. Ask God to, maybe if you see it in his great will and plan and design, from one of those three people. Maybe it was this one guy. I don't know how many it was. But it was one person at least. Maybe pick up one of them little blue tracts that's got the world on the front of it. It says, it talks about the salvation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe they'll open it up and read it. I don't know. We don't. We don't. Maybe it'd be like the one fellow that I knew of one time that, you know what, he didn't actually read it, but he gave it to somebody else, and they read it. Maybe this will happen. We don't know. But God has a purpose. He's got a better plan than I do. And then Psalm 34:8, my last point is this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Blessed are these people. Blessed are you. You are a blessed person if you will trust in God. If you will just realize and you'll just take it to yourself, to your life, and apply it to apply the truth at this simple point that God is good. God is good. God is good. All the time, God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. Pray for those people. Be patient. Thank God for the encouragement. God loves you. Realize that God is protective and providential. He has it all in control. Don't be angry and sin. There is retribution for stealing. Don't steal. Don't be prideful. We're safe from wicked thoughts. People are wicked. Pray. Take care of business and just think about the matter. You know, these are just some principles that I thought about this afternoon. And it was rather healthy for me, good for me, and I hope it would be good for you. Maybe you wrote them down, maybe you can share them with somebody that wasn't here tonight. Maybe somebody that you'll talk to in our church, maybe, that will say, I can't believe that happened. Let me share something that Pastor shared with somebody tonight. You know, this is the tone that he wants to set for this whole thing. This is the heart that he wants in it. And so let's just take a minute or two. We won't take too long or anything, but let's take a minute or two here. And in silence, and let's pray for the situation. And let's pray for these people.